To glow in the dark.
Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark.
This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. Recording this Sunday afternoon, August 26th, 2018. It's episode 485. We only have 15 more as we count down towards episode 500. Pretty wild. I'm recording with the windows open today. We'll see if that makes a difference. Maybe we'll hear background noise. I don't know. I just feel like keeping the windows open. A beautiful day here in Vermont as I record some science fiction audio adventure for you. The Adventures of Alibi Jones. Alibi and his new covert ops team are off on their first mission. They're trying to establish their cover by delivering some contraband seafood to crime boss Tony Yang on his world, Argentium. Alibi, Cat, and Emily have arrived on Argentium and have checked in through the embassy of the cat-like Dakur. The Dakur embassy. Those are Cat's people. He's actually Catrafundla Grundler, something like that anyway. But short, he's Cat. And he's one of these cat-like Dakur aliens. They have an embassy on Argentium because they deal with Yang for their own reasons. So far, Emily's not impressed with Alibi or Cat, or their skills, or their ability to be covert ops. So she thinks they're doomed. That was kind of where we left things off last time around. Emily saying, yeah, we're doomed. So we'll see if their mission begins to go any better in the upcoming chapter, Chapter 7 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest. On Glow in the Dark Radio. We'll get to the story in a couple of minutes. Just a couple here. First, a quick check of some book news. And we're going to hear a promo from my friend Nutty. Nutty Bites. She's got a great show you should check out. My book news is I have lowered my prices. This is not a sale. This is a new pricing strategy. This is on all my ebooks. They have been priced at $4.99 for novels and $9.99 for the omnibuses. I'm going to change that. I'm going to charge $2.99 for the novels and $5.99 for the omnibuy, the omnibuses. So yeah, new prices on the ebooks, $2.99 for the novels, $5.99 for the collections. Just 99 cents now for the short story collection, Alibi Jones and the Time War of the Devresium. I also want to thank you for picking up my audiobooks. I have been seeing sales on all my titles, and that's very cool. And you know, with all of my books, I do have to ask, I almost have to beg, please, if you've bought an audiobook, if you've picked up one of my books on any site, please go back and leave a review or at least some stars, because those make such a difference. Like I say, I'm begging. If you've done it, if you've picked up books, please go back and let people know. It's very important. Thank you. All right, we are going to check out Chapter 7 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest next on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Wake up. Go to work. Work. Come home. Eat dinner. Rot your brain out. Go to bed. Lather. Rinse. Repeat. Are you tired of an old humdrum life? Tired of things that just weigh you down and depress you? Wouldn't you rather just focus on things that are awesome? Tune into Nutty Bites. Find out what's awesome. Nutty Bites. NIMLAS.org/blog.
Now here's Chapter 7 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Geesh, Alibi said. If you didn't want this assignment... Emily brought her right hand up, palm out, stopping Alibi abruptly. No specifics, she said. She looked deliberately around the room. Don't know who is watching and listening, she whispered. Alibi nodded. Good, she said, still in hushed tones. Follow my lead and try to act like you're a traitor, not a safe officer, or worse, a thief. Gotcha, Alibi said. Cat? Emily asked. You on board or not?
I am on board, if that means working with you two on this,
Cat said. Emily nodded.
Yes, then,
Cat confirmed. Good, she said. She looked Alibi in the eye. Can't believe I'm the one who has to be like this. You're good at it, he said, holding her gaze. She looked down, away. Thanks, she said, softening a little. She looked back up, steel in her eyes. So, she said, I'm our business manager. You are? Alibi asked. She stared back at him, unmoving. You are, he said. I'm the captain and I own the ship, so you work for me. Guess we can have formal titles.
What, then, am I? Formally, I mean,
Cat asked Alibi. Alibi thought for a couple of seconds. Co-pilot, he told the Dakur.
First mate. But that is what you already call me.
Cat was confused. What do we call Brisby? Emily asked. Late for dinner? Alibi joked. Can't believe you went there, Emily said with a smirk. Should he even have a title? Alibi asked. He could be a kind of scout, I guess. That sounds military, Emily said, shaking her head. We'll just say he's a rich kid who pays to ride with us sometimes, Alibi said. Which is sort of true. Emily punched him lightly on the arm. That's not very nice, she said, in tones of mock concern. Still true, sort of. Alibi smiled. She grinned back and laughed. Varagar re-entered the room, ending the moment.
It turns out Mr. Yang is ready to receive guests ahead of schedule, Varagar announced. It is dinner time, and we are welcome to see him now.
Excellent, Alibi replied, standing, anxious to get moving. Varagar led Alibi, Cat, and Emily out of the lounge, back through the main hall, and out of the Dakur Embassy through a different door, onto Argentium's main thoroughfare. Alibi looked around. The curbs, light poles, and main buildings along their path were all trimmed in silver, with the white-blue light from Argentium itself glinting off. Alibi shielded his eyes from the glare. Looking down, the pavement underfoot glowed a purplish blue.
Yang's manor is at the head of this walkway, Varagar said.
He began walking up the road, expecting the others to follow. Shrugging, Alibi fell in behind Varagar. Cat and Emily came after. As they made their way up the hill, Alibi noticed the fancier, better-built buildings were few in number and all clustered along this central boulevard. Looking back down the slope as they neared the manor, Alibi saw that most of Argentium's inhabitants lived in converted cargo containers, bundled and piled on top of each other in haphazard, makeshift apartment buildings, set up starting about a block off the main drag. If anything said low-budget colony, it was a multitude of the universe's most easily created shelter spaces, cargo containers designed to be turned into small one-room houses. As humankind spread out into the stars, every bit of space on board the colony ships was precious. The cargo containers were just one example of humankind's multi-use ingenuity. Stackable, they could be converted into cheap, instant tenements. Most of Argentium looked to be built out of them. When Alibi looked down on the city from up on the hill, he could see some indication of a more ambitious plan laid out before the cargo carriers were laid down in the pattern of the grid of the streets, as well as in the few more ornate buildings that echoed the manor's style and lined the boulevard. Alibi turned back from surveying the cityscape to discover they'd reached the manor's massive main gate. In keeping with the colony's color scheme, the gate and the attached wall surrounding the manor's grounds were fashioned from a purplish stone, framed and interconnected by polished silver steel and wire mesh. Alibi assumed the stone was some native mineral, extracted and polished for the purpose. Alibi saw they weren't the first to arrive at the gate. Another group of humans and Dakur waited ahead of them. Evidently, Yang was expecting a few groups. Before Alibi could tell if he knew any of the crowd, the gate opened. four of Yang's personal guards appeared, dressed in dark blue and purple security uniforms. They were armed, but their weapons were holstered. The lead guard motioned for the group to go in. Varagar, Alibi, Emily, and Kat made their way double file with the others, escorted through the gate, across the grounds, and into Yang's manor. As they passed the threshold, Alibi felt his entire body tingle with a strange energy.
"My fur stood on end just now," Kat observed as they walked into a receiving area,
a small foyer, bare of furnishings. "Force field," Alibi said. The narrow room was windowless, the walls and ceiling a plain yet translucent light violet. The floor seemed made of the same stone as the gate and the walls outside. The door they'd come in through closed. A minute passed. Their group, Alibi counted about 10 in total, waited patiently, shifting on their feet for a bit before the door on the room's opposite side opened in front of them.
"Elevator," Emily said in a quiet voice. "Could just barely feel it. Think we went down."
The group made its way out of the foyer, or elevator, into a large open room. A man sat at a table of food at the room's far end, eating. A woman walked towards them from the other side of the room. She was thin, taller than Alibi, with short red hair, and wore a smartly tailored, old-fashioned three-piece business suit.
"Hello, I'm Miss Stevens, Mr. Yang's assistant," she said to the group. "You are in luck today. Mr. Yang has decided to have a business dinner. If you will please come with me to the other end of the hall, there are places where you can sit and wait until Mr. Yang calls on you during his meal."
She turned and walked back towards the other end of the room. Alibi and the others followed. Mr. Yang sat alone at a large table laden with many bowls and serving dishes filled with a mouth-watering variety of foods from human cultures. He reached for a platter of ribeye steaks as Alibi and the group approached. There were no other chairs save Yang's at the table. Several backless, cushioned chairs and lounging couches were pulled up around the front of it. The woman waved at the couches and chairs, indicating the group should take seats. Alibi made his way over towards the largest, almost in front of Yang. Emily, Kat, and Varagar joined him, sitting down on the couch. They waited as Yang ate dinner. He seemed to enjoy the meal, so much so he didn't call on anyone, just fed his face.
"Is this it? Are we supposed to just sit here and watch him eat?"
Kat hissed in a loud whisper.
"Quiet."
Varagar shushed him, whispering back,
"Do not disturb Mr. Yang unless he calls on you, please."
Watching Yang eat made Alibi hungry. To distract himself, he looked around the room at the other people with them. There seemed to be two other groups or crews. On his right sat two short-haired, ex-military-looking types, accompanied by a silver-haired Darkor. A little further back, almost behind him, sat a woman with long brown hair alongside two Darkor, one with a nearly blonde pelt, the other dark brown. As the woman saw him look her way, she smiled at Alibi.
"She's beautiful."
He was staring. She noticed. Alibi turned away, almost too quickly. He looked back. He meant to look for just a moment, but his eyes locked and took her in. Long dark hair, tan skin, nice curvy figure, oval face, big blue eyes, full lips. She kept smiling, looking back at him. He turned away again. His heart was racing. His thoughts, chaotic.
What the hell?
He resisted the urge to look one more time. He found himself resisting a lot of urges. His mind struggled to resume control of his body, calm his libido down. Alibi couldn't remember the last time he'd been hit by such a wave of pure, unbridled lust. He marveled at how he was able to keep completely calm on the outside, while inside he burned with fireworks exploding.
Not the time nor place. But kind of nice to know it can still hit me like that. Have to find out who she is.
Emily leaned over to whisper in his ear.
Are you okay? She asked.
Alibi's stomach dropped out of him, sucked into a black hole that replaced it, made by the sudden betrayal of memories he shouldn't even have. Memories of growing old, married to Emily.
Damn the Devrisium. Yes, he whispered back.
You look a little funny, she said.
Hungry, Alibi said. Gas.
Emily leaned back with a dubious look on her face. Alibi shrugged. Motion on the side of the table in front of them caught his attention. Ms. Stevens approached their couch.
Do we get to speak with him now?
This is your only warning, she said in a humorless monotone. No more talking. She turned and walked back into the shadows. Emily glared at him. They both looked away, and back at Yang feeding his face, a nearly constant process. Yang displayed a voracious appetite. He moved from bowl to dish to bowl, eating his way through the food piled on the table, keeping his audience waiting and watching for over an hour as he devoured his dinner in front of them. Alibi eventually allowed himself another stolen glance at the beautiful woman. He smiled when he saw her smile back at him, but he again looked away quickly.
Feel like a stupid kid again. Not going to make the same mistakes as before, though. Gonna try to get to know her before thinking she's all that beautiful. Seen beauty hide some ugly insides.
Okay, Yang said, finally, breaking the silence. Who's first? Laurel Eden and company, Ms. Stevens announced. Alibi watched as the beautiful smiling woman and her two darkcore friends approached the table. He couldn't hear what they were discussing, so he kept watching her.
Are you staring at her butt? Emily asked.
She gave Alibi a look. He had been. It had a sort of lovely upside-down heart shape.
Shh, Alibi said. We're not supposed to talk.
That's while he was eating, Emily said. He's done eating now, and talking to Mrs. Shapely Butt and her cats up there.
Do not call Dakura cats, Cat said, interrupting.
Both Emily and Alibi stared at him for a moment before bursting into giggles.
That is rude, Cat said.
They tried to stifle their laughter. Your name is Cat, Alibi said. You telling us not to call Dakura cats is sort of funny, Cat?
The shortened form of my name I allow you to use is Cat, he replied. And now you may have some idea of how tolerant a Dakura I am.
Alibi and Emily were chagrined.
I'm sorry, Cat, Emily said. Is it okay to call you Cat?
Yes, he said.
He scratched his head, thinking.
I am getting used to it from you. It would be strange for you to change now.
Cat looked around the room and changed the subject.
Do you see the thing? I do not see that device here,
Cat whispered. He's not going to have it out sitting around, Alibi whispered back. Laurel Eden and the Dakur finished whatever business they had with Yang and turned to leave the table. She smiled over at Alibi and waved a little wave as they passed. She's kind of old for you, isn't she? Emily asked.
Shh, he said.
Alibi Jones and company, Ms. Stevens called out. Alibi, Emily, Cat, and Varagar arose and approached the table opposite Yang. Alibi was struck by how thin the man was. After the feasting display he'd seen, he expected a much larger man. Nice dinner, Alibi said, regretting the words as soon as they'd come out. Tony Yang cocked up his eyebrow as he looked at Alibi Jones.
Was that sarcasm? He asked.
Not at all, Alibi said. It appears you had a nice dinner.
I did, Yang said.
And I'm sure you can find yourself a nice dinner on my world, Mr.
Alibi Jones, Mr. Yang, Alibi said, nodding.
Well, Mr. Jones, Yang said. Were you staring at me? It's not polite to stare.
Me? Alibi asked. He didn't know what to say.
You seem surprised by me, Yang said. I've seen that look before. A mix of disgust and wonder.
I'm sorry, Alibi said. I didn't mean to offend you.
You're just wondering how I can eat like a pig and stay so thin.
Yeah? Yang said, challenging him.
No, Alibi said.
Yes. I thought you'd be fatter.
I have an artificial stomach, Yang explained. Lets me eat just about anything. I get the nourishment I need from it, and it efficiently destroys the rest. Only way to live.
Alibi looked at the empty plates on the table, at the walls, at the floor,
anywhere but at Yang. He didn't want to be caught staring.
But enough about eating, Yang said. Unless, wait.
He grinned.
You're the lobster man, aren't you?
I might be, Alibi said. Do you like lobster? We deliver, you know.
Stevens told me about you, Yang said. When can you deliver your cargo?
You're interested? Alibi asked. Don't you want to haggle about price, stuff like that? Emily stepped on his foot as casually as she could. Alibi realized he should stop talking.
I'm sure Ms. Stevens and your business manager can agree on a fair price, Yang said.
Yang stared back at Alibi.
Don't like the way he's sizing me up.
What? Alibi asked.
You don't look like I thought you would, Yang said. You know, Alibi Jones, destroyer of worlds and all that. Drummed out of the safe mediators.
Yang laughed.
Thought you'd be taller.
Sorry, Alibi said. He shrugged. He didn't want to antagonize the man. There was an awkward silence.
Stevens! Yang bellowed over at her. Sir? Find out how much they've got, figure out a price, and buy it unless they're unreasonable,
Yang said. He looked back at Alibi.
And if all goes well, maybe we can do more business, Yang said. You're new to the Depot Fringe. We'll see if you can survive out here, Jones.
We're going to try to, Mr. Yang, Alibi said. We'd like to carry cargo off-world for you, if the opportunity arises, Emily added. Yang turned back to her, assessing her and her offer.
Would you? Yang said. Well, let's see if you can deliver the goods first. If your product is quality, and it's not traceably hot, we'll see.
Yang looked to his business manager.
Miss Stevens?
Stevens nodded. Alibi turned to Emily. Emily, you know what to do. She nodded, then went over to speak to the red-haired woman. Emily and Stevens consulted together briefly. They shook hands. Emily came back over.
Let's go, she said.
She turned and led the rest of them away from the table and across the hall.
Are we delivering the law?
Alibi started to ask as he walked alongside her, matching her step. Emily elbowed him. Alibi stopped. She kept walking with Varagar and Kat out of the hall. Alibi caught up.
Hey!
Shush, she told him.
You've said enough for now.
That was Chapter 7 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Alibi's not very good at this, is he? Luckily, Emily has a good head on her shoulders. She probably should be business manager. We'll see if she can keep the other two in line as this mission continues. Hope you'll be back for our next chapter. Oh, and by the way, that line that Yang says about Alibi Jones, thought you'd be taller? Yeah, I used to hear that a lot when people would meet me in person after hearing my voice on the radio. So, it's one of those lines I had to use at some point, and there it is.
Thought you'd be taller.
Well, let's see if Alibi can actually pull off the mission. Join us for Chapter 8 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest coming up on our next episode. Again, I've got a little bit of news. I have changed the pricing on all my ebooks. You can get my novels now for $2.99 instead of $4.99. Of course, the first two, the first Alibi Jones novel and Vatican Assassin, the first novel, are both free, or they should be. And yeah, now the omnibuses, or the omnibi, are just $5.99. They used to be $9.99. So I've brought down all those prices to see if maybe we can get some more sales, I hope. And I have been getting good sales on the audiobooks, so thank you for picking those up. In all of these cases, though, I do need reviews. So if you have picked up a book, please go back and drop down a review or a rating or something, because those are really helpful for independent writers like myself. So hope you can do that. And that is all for this episode. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. And I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.